Welcome home, neighbors.
Welcome home, neighbors.
Hello, neighbors.
We're listening from
Arizona,
Florida,
Maryland,
New York,
New Jersey,
Indianapolis,
California,
Utah,
Michigan,
Iowa, Massachusetts,
Georgia,
Canada.
Our home resort is
Animal Kingdom,
Polynesian,
Great Lake Tahoe,
Old Key West,
Riviera,
Boardwalk,
Alani Resort,
Hilton Head,
Boulder Ridge,
Copper Creek,
Grand Floridian,
Saratoga Springs,
Beach Club,
and Wilderness Lodge.
And you're listening to my
Hello, everyone. I am Shannon, and welcome to DVC Newscast. I believe this is episode 12. Am I right, Pete?
That's right. Episode 1-2.
Obviously, you heard my co-host, Pete Shidley.
Hi. How's everybody doing?
So we have not that much news, but it's been about 2 weeks since we recorded an episode, and you are actually getting ready to go to Walt Disney World. Am I right?
We are in 4 days from recording here, so probably pretty close to when it goes up. We'll be on our way.
Yeah, so we wanted to get a episode in and recorded before you headed down. Hopefully, no breaking news will happen just before you leave or while you were out.
Well, you'll have to record without me.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, before we get started, let's go ahead and talk about our sponsor. Our sponsor for this episode is DVC Resale Market. If you are looking to sell a contract or buy a contract, definitely hit up our friends at DVC Resale Market. They will help you out with whatever you need. There are some great contracts to be had, and they're very knowledgeable. I bought my resale contract from them back in 2016. And I had no clue what I was doing, and they walked me through the process, and they are fantastic. So definitely contact our friends at DVC Resale Market. So with that, are we ready to get into the news?
Let's get into it.
Okay. The first up is the new credit card auto pay option for members to pay their annual dues. Next month, Disney Vacation Club will give owners a new option for pre-scheduling their annual dues payment. DVC owners will soon be able to set up their annual dues to auto pay from a credit card. Basically, you can now pay your annual dues through a credit card. However, if you want to do a monthly payment, it is still needs to come from a debit card or a checking account. So yep. What do you think about this, Pete?
I do the monthly payment, so it doesn't really matter much for me. I think it's good if people want to take advantage of the Disney Visa or some other point system and they have that money all up front. That's great. You can charge it to your credit card. You can get some mileage or some points from that. It's a nice offer. But for me, until they make it monthly, I'm probably not going to take advantage of it.
Yeah, same here. I do the monthly payments. I think everyone got really excited about this. And then that ended pretty quickly once they realized that it was only for the annual payment. This is a step in the right direction. I don't know if there's a legal reason why it can't be done on a monthly payment. I have a Disney credit card, so if I wanted to, I could get some extra points.
Yep.
But I will probably stick to the monthly payment.
Yeah, my annual chunk is a little large, so I'd rather keep it monthly.
Same here. And then we'll move on, and I'm going to let you cover this one, but that Alani points extension as reopening nears. So why don't you take over this one?
Yeah, this one is from DVC News, and they have a memo from Alani about some point extension. So reopening is scheduled for November 1st, 2020, but to provide greater flexibility for members, they're extending if you had previously banked points that are eligible for use, they will be extending those until February 28th, 2021. So this would apply to points from the use year that was previously April, June, August, September, October, or December of 2018, or February 2019. If you have points that were banked into the following year from those use years, they've been extended to February 28th, 2021 to use. All other types of points will follow the normal expiration process. It's probably not a big thing. I'm guessing a lot of people already did something with those points. If you weren't able to use them, if you only go to Aulani and you don't normally come to the East Coast, maybe some people were going to lose points, and this is a good opportunity for them to maybe still work them in. I don't know.
Yeah, it's really hard because I think anybody that is planning an Aulani trip, that takes a lot of planning, especially if you're coming from the East Coast. Yeah. I know there's been so many people in our DVC points community that had trips canceled and really were holding out hope. Obviously now they are reopening November 1st. There's a lot of restrictions, but still, at least they're doing something for these owners.
Yep, and maybe if you can't go to Aulani, you can pop down to Disney World in the wintertime, because it does seem like a lot of people are still having to cancel their trips. So there is availability. So
there's a lot of availability. So I know someone in the group today posted that they were able to get a value studio, I think four or five nights straight, a value studio 4 months away. So
yeah,
I think it was in January, which is unheard of.
Pretty rare, that's for sure. Yeah.
And they didn't have a wait list. It was just on there available.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of opportunity. I know my friend in Canada, she had a trip planned for March and she is pushing it back to May because she just doesn't feel like they're going to lift the travel restriction. She's being proactive and changing the trip to May. And hopefully she'll be able to get here by May and use those points at Beach Club. I told her if she couldn't, I would gladly take her place.
I'll use your points, sure.
Her kids were born in the States. So she says that her kids are talking now. They're 11 and 13. She said their kids are saying that they'll go without her. So I said, well, we'll babysit and use the second because they have a 2-bedroom. So I said, you know what? Let's do it.
Sure.
There's worse places to go. But anyway, let's move on. We're all the way at Aulani. So let's move a little bit further east and go to California. I know there's probably not that many people that own at Grand Californian, but I think a lot of us have gone to Disneyland and are keeping our eye on what's going on in California. So some news, there's been a lot going on this past week. It just seems like the state of California and Disney are in a head-to-head match, but California Health Secretary states Disneyland reopening guidelines will be released when we're ready. Orange County still in the red tier. And basically, the Human Services Secretary, Dr. Mark Galli, issued another COVID-19 update reiterating that Orange County, which includes Anaheim and the Disneyland Resort, is still under a red substantial tier code. While not present at the update, Governor Gavin Newsom works directly with Dr. Galli and basically saying we will release the guidelines when we're ready. We did hear something today. We are recording this on Tuesday, October 13th. We did hear today that they sent some secret shoppers to Walt Disney World to see what the protocols. They came last week and we're reporting back to Governor Newsom. I just feel for the cast members there. A lot of them have been laid off. And when we heard the 28,000, a lot of those employees are from California. I think word came out that the Frozen at the Hyperion and Mickey and the Magical Map, I probably butchered those names.
No, those are right.
Those two shows are now gone, that all the actors have gotten official layoff notices. So it's just sad. And the longer that this is prolonged and they prolong the opening, I think more cast members are going to get laid off, and it's really hard.
Yeah, I think it's really tough for California to make that decision, because there was recently an article in the New York Times, and this isn't something we're going to cover, but talking about how Disney has really managed to control any outbreaks stemming from the Florida Disney Park, that there really hasn't been any outbreaks among the cast members and any obvious outbreaks amongst guests. That's not to say necessarily someone didn't get it, nothing that where they can say this is a hot spot or anything like that. And there's got to be a balance with all these things. And I don't understand why they can't find a way to open those parks under similar restrictions to the East Coast. And yeah, maybe they're very crowded parks normally. So maybe you're going to have to keep the capacity pretty low, but at least let's get the people back to work and let the annual pass holders start coming again.
Universal has now been open for 4 months. Walt Disney World has been open for 3. And everyone, especially when Walt Disney World opened, because the rise in cases in Florida had begun to rise between when Universal opened and when Disney reopened. And there hasn't been, just like you said, there hasn't been an outbreak. Have people gotten it? I'm sure someone has come home with COVID from Walt Disney World. We don't know for sure, but there's been no known outbreaks, no super spreader events like we've been hearing in the news the last week and a half. And if there were, it would be in the news, because there's just no way that they would be able to cover that up.
They're taking the precautions. They're requiring the masks. They're sanitizing everywhere all the time. They're keeping distance in the dining rooms and everything like that. It's been proven now these type of things work. They keep the virus for the most part at bay.
And I will say, having gone to Walt Disney World and Universal, people are following the rules. Do you have people where your mask falls down a little bit below your nose? Yes. But for the most part, people are following the rules. People are keeping their distance. People don't want to get COVID.
Right.
So they are, I've heard people say, I've been to Disney World and I see how people follow the rules. Yeah, but this is different because people don't want to get COVID. I don't like wearing a mask. I've said that. I try not to wear a mask. I will only wear a mask when I'm required to do, but I wear the mask. I don't pretend like it's against my rights because it's private property. So people there, I do see that people are going there and following the rules. And hopefully the people that they sent will report back that what they saw was good. I hope for the cast members that are still employed and even the ones that are laid off. The ones that are laid off doesn't mean they're laid off permanently. We talked a little bit about that. Hopefully they can always be recalled. So we'll see. Yeah, nothing new to report on California. And the odd thing is we didn't have this on our list, but it looks like Cruise Line will start cruising in December. I think the first cruise that's still on the books right now is December 12th. There was a big meeting last Friday with the vice president and the heads of Royal Caribbean, Disney Cruise Line, Norwegian. They are really, I think they are gearing up to start cruising in December. I think it'll be slow. I think Cruise Line might be up and running before Disneyland.
That amazes me too, because
2 months ago, I would have said that would be crazy. Disneyland will open before Cruise Line. Cruise Line will be the last thing open. But right now, it doesn't look like that's going to be the case.
Because this is personal. I feel if you gave me a free Disney cruise right now and told me, come on down in December, we're going to give you a free 4-night cruise, I'd be like, no, thanks.
Oh, I'll be the first one on there.
I'm just saying it's a personal thing. Absolutely. If I heard too many things about cruises, that just the whole idea does not sit well with me. And there's a lot of people like that for Disney, even that wouldn't go to Disney right now. But it really, I would think the cruise lines would have an even harder message to overcome with that, since historically they're known for having problems with infections circulating through. Yeah, I hope they both are able to open up, because anything that gets people jobs, I think that's a good thing. Governor Newsom, if you're listening, open them up.
I'm sure he listens to
our podcast.
So we will move on. I think we spent a little more time on this than we probably would have liked, but we will move on. And you are going to be here next week. This is the Disney's Boardwalk Villas and the Keister Coaster. We talked about that it was being refurbed, and now we know why it's being refurbed. The clown has been canceled.
No, no more creepy clown.
No more creepy clown. So there were rumors about this. I personally didn't believe it. And sure enough, there were pictures on Twitter this week.
Yeah.
The pieces of the clown hair being dismantled and destroyed. So we don't know it's going back. I've heard rumors that it's going to be Mickey and Friends, but the clown is no more.
I think we should start a rumor that they're going to replace it with the clown from It.
That'd be awesome. I'm not surprised. So personally, the clown didn't bother me. I do know a lot of people have a fear of clowns. Yeah. So I do understand that. I never understood the clown. It didn't bother me. It's a great slide. So it just didn't bother us. This doesn't bother me. So the fact that they're getting rid of it, I'm just surprised at the timing. I'm not surprised because the resort side is closed. So it's a good time because it's only half full. Just budget's tight. So yeah, why now? It's just surprising.
The only thing I can think of is that they have had issues in the past with people not wanting to stay there because of that reason. And with trying to get as many people when they open, they want to get as many people as they can. They don't want to have anyone not going because there's a creepy clown on the slides. I get the theming because the theming, it's the Luna Park pool, the old time midways or whatever, would a lot of time have that arch. In fact, we went when we were in Australia a number of years ago. They have an amusement park across the bay from the Sydney Opera House, and it's called Luna Park, and the entrance is that same kind of scary-looking clown. You got to walk through the clown's mouth to get into the amusement park. So it's kind of a throwback-type image. So I understand the image, but I also understand that some adults, and more so probably their kids, don't really like it.
Yeah, absolutely. We expect a full report when you get back, hopefully.
I will. If there's anything being put up, I will post it on the MyDVC Points Facebook page, and I will keep people posted. If anything is put up between now and the 24th, I will put pictures up, and you'll be the first to know of everybody on the Facebook page.
Absolutely. So this is something that we talked about, the layoffs, and we were getting news as far as where people were being laid off from. And word came through that every cast member that worked for the minivans have received notice that they are being let go. I think this means the end of the minivans, which this one bothers me. I get it. We always budgeted for the minivans and we needed a car seat. My son is 4. We still need a car seat. You know, with the minivans, you could drive straight up to the bus loop at Magic Kingdom. You didn't have to go to TTC. If you were going to Hoop-Dee-Doo or anything at Fort Wilderness, they could leave you right off there. It had access that you didn't have access otherwise. Did you ever take a minivan, Pete?
We did in the early days when the price wasn't too bad. I want to say we never have a car, but actually for the first time since we stayed off property, we're going to have a car this trip because I don't want to use the buses really. Normally we do not have a car there and I don't mind the buses going to and from the parks, but if I'm going to another resort, I do not want to have to transfer twice or whatever to try and get to dinner. So we use a Lyft. Usually we budget for maybe 5-6 Lyft rides over the course of a week that we're there. And when they opened the minivans, we actually took the minivan a couple times because it wasn't that much more expensive than a Lyft. And it was cool to use a minivan. But then they really raised the prices to where it was more than double what you could pay for Lyft or Uber. I don't know if they felt they weren't making enough money was probably the reason they did that. But the problem was they raised it so much, I think, unless you needed the car seat or you had a big party that you needed that van, I think most people were using the Lyft. I think
it was really busy in the morning during park opening.
Was it
really busy? Yeah, you could almost not get one. But then that was it. Otherwise, when we were going to Magic Kingdom for dinner, when we went our last night to go to Cinderella's Royal Table, it was no problem. We called and it was there in 5 minutes. But in the morning, you almost had to order it 15 minutes before you were ready to leave because it could be a long time.
For us, 2 adults and a teenager, it never made sense once they jacked the prices up.
Right.
We went from Bay Lake Tower to Animal Kingdom Villas, and I still think it was only like $18, $19 with a Lyft. And the minivan was 40 or more.
40-something. Yeah. Absolutely. I think for us, it made sense for us if we were going to Magic Kingdom or needed to go to that back area at Fort Wilderness because we always have a car. But a car wasn't going to get us at the front of Magic Kingdom or to the back of Fort Wilderness. So that's where it made sense. We always budgeted for those types of occasions. Other than that, we would drive. But I am sad. I hope they do something that with Lyft or with Uber where they do have a better dropping off spot for some of these locations because people are trying to avoid taking that transportation, taking the buses. And so hopefully they come up with something, but I don't know if I don't think that's a priority right now, but we'll see. But I think everything is changing week by week, but sad, rest in peace, minivans. And also those cast members, the cast members that were the minivan drivers were some of the best.
They
were top notch. You had to have worked for the company for several years. It was a long, drawn out application process. So they were the cream of the crop. To hear that all of those drivers were laid off really broke my heart because they laid off some of the best cast members, which is really hard to hear. But hopefully they will get recalled in some capacity once things start to pick up. Let's leave on a high note or somewhat positive note and sales. So I'm going to let you take this one because sales looks like they're increasing a little bit.
Yeah. Right? So DVC News, they do a great job of posting direct sales numbers. Not sure where they get them from, but they look at the deeds and the points. And yeah, sales are up. They went from, it was about 77,000 in August. The points total for September was just under 110,000 points. For the on-property Walt Disney World Vacation Club resorts, which makes it the first month since March that they exceeded 100,000 points. It's still probably below average, which is average is probably closer to 150,000 points. So still about 20-30% below average, but I'm sure Disney's pretty happy with those numbers. Now where I'm not so sure they're happy is that out of those 110,000 points, only 66,000 points were sold at the Riviera. So that means only about 60% of the points coming out of their current focus of sales. There's another 12,000 at Copper Creek. But if you look at it, there's almost 9,000 points at Old Key West that were sold. That's actually in third place, and 6,500 at Saratoga Springs. It's interesting to see this, that the numbers for Riviera relative to the total number of points are very low. Again, I think I mentioned this when we talked about August. If you looked at prior to Riviera opening, Riviera points were selling at around 70% of the total sales. When it opened in December, that went up to the normal number, which is around 80 to 85%. That's normal for the new resort to sell, is about 80 to 85% of sales. And then, of course, things closed down. So we didn't get to see if that trend was going to continue. This number being so low still tells me that there's not as much interest in this resort as other resorts have been, because if people are coming in and want any of these other resorts, maybe with the exception of Copper Creek, you have to specifically ask that, okay, I want Animal Kingdom Lodge. Don't sell me Riviera. I want Animal Kingdom Lodge. They're trying to sell Riviera. So this means that 40% of the points are coming from somewhere else. That's a lot. That right. really is a lot. So I'm wondering if Disney is not, we've talked about it before, is this a strategy that they're now going to try to sell more of these other resorts? Or is it that people don't want Riviera? And if people don't want Riviera, that's not a good thing for Disney.
There's reports that if you're buying a direct contract, not at Aulani or Riviera, they are sending you a survey. And this is pretty recent, and they're sending you a survey, and it's basically, were you aware of Riviera and Aulani, and why didn't you buy there? And they basically list the reasons why. Mm-hmm. They do list the resale restrictions. One of the things they don't list is the point cost to stay there. And I think that's a big miss. I don't think they realize that the point costs, it's really high to stay there. And when you have Boardwalk and Beach Club, which have that access to Hollywood Studios and Epcot, and you can stay there for a lot less points, it's hard to compete with that. Whereas if you're comparing the Grand Floridian and Polynesian, which are more points for a studio, but they're competing against each other and you're not going to have much of an option. Where with Riviera, you have Beach Club, which literally is the back door of Epcot.
Right.
Boardwalk is within walking distance to both. So it's hard. It's a beautiful resort. Loved our stay there. And then now also with no fireworks, it's hard to promote that fireworks view of Epcot because right now there's no fireworks.
Yeah.
So I think that doesn't help either.
Yep.
And I think it's just, they were a little too greedy. And I think it'll be interesting to see because they can't change the point charts. The point charts are done.
No.
They're selling the amount of points based on the point charts that they have. So that cannot change. Only thing that they can remove are those resale restrictions. But it looks like they're digging their heels in the sand, and I don't think they're going to budge. But only time will tell.
Yeah. But even so, I think looking at the contracts, it's Saratoga Springs, it's Old Key West, it's Animal Kingdom Villas that are after Copper Creek. Actually, there's more Old Key West contracts sold than Copper Creek contracts, even though the number of points are less. So it tells me that
Old Key West, if you buy direct, you're extended.
Mm-hmm. But I'm just
automatically extended.
I'm just saying the fact that those three are the most popular tells me part of it is people still want value out of their DVC resort, and they don't see as much value at Riviera. They see more value getting Old Key West, Saratoga, Animal Kingdom, even at maybe, I guess those don't have a higher point price, but it's a similar point price.
Right.
But they still have a lot of years on them. As you say, Old Key West, 2057. Animal Kingdom, I think, is also 2057. And Saratoga, I believe, is 2054.
Four, yes.
Yeah. Those still have 30 plus years on them, which is plenty for most people. And I think people are saying cheaper points, cheaper point charts, cheaper maintenance fees. They go in there going, oh, this Riviera is nice, but I can't afford a week at this place at your prices. So
absolutely.
I think it's a little of that. I think it's a little that the location does not merit the point price as well.
I agree. I absolutely agree. Well, with that, I think that covers all of the news that we have. I will do a shameless plug for myself, for my own vlog. So I have talked a little bit about this before. I have a vlog on YouTube. So just go to youtube.com/ShannonFord. And right now I am doing a series. So I'm doing a series on the best and worst rooms. And I'm starting with all the DVC resorts. So as of recording this, I already have live Boulder Ridge Villas, Polynesian, Bay Lake Tower, and then this week will be Old Key West and Saratoga Springs. So basically going over what are the best and worst rooms, what areas I would stay at, what other DVC members have recommended, just to help. You can request your room through Touring Plans. And so go ahead if you're interested in that, because that's a big question that always gets asked in the community group is, where should I request to stay, or where's the best area to stay? So I tried to cover that in my vlog, and hopefully you will go there and take a look.
So did you cover the dumpster view room at Boulder Ridge? Because I've heard that there's bad views there.
I did, but the dumpster view, I couldn't find out if that has improved since Copper Creek. Most of those reports were during the construction of Copper Creek.
I see.
But I had a very bad room at Boulder Ridge. That was our first DVC stay, and we had a bad room. And I talk about that, but basically I requested a unique corner one bedroom, and that wasn't available. So they put us in the room next door. And the room next door was probably the worst. So I requested the best, and next door was the worst. And the reason why it's the worst is because it had vaulted ceilings. So for a week, we kept banging our head on these vaulted ceilings. Oh. So it made the room feel very, very small and dark. And that's why I no longer request those, what I call unicorn rooms, those special rooms that have, because the likelihood of getting them is not good. So now I request what we know we'll be happy with.
So. Yeah, I've tried several times to request specific rooms, and it's never, ever worked for me. So I haven't used Touring Plans. I hear good things about them, but personally trying to, I more tend to request locations within the resort, and that seems to work better. But
And I think you learn what you like. We personally like ground floor. Not everybody likes ground floor. The views are always nice, but once you look out the window once, you're pretty much done.
That's me too. I don't care that much about the views. So that's why we like our boardwalk contract. We're staying in a standard view studio when we go this week. And I know I'm not going to be looking at much. I'm probably going to be looking at either grass or a parking lot, but hey, I don't care. I'm at boardwalk.
Exactly. Well, with that, we will leave you, and thank you for listening, and see you real soon.
Yep, see you real soon. And I will be posting on the My DVC Points Facebook page on occasion from the park. So look for those videos and photos as I'm going around.
Awesome. Can't wait to see them.
Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.